and Savior Jesus Christ. He is just so wonderful to us, and we want to celebrate his goodness and grace today. Our scriptural affirmation is from the 20th chapter of John, verses 19 through 29. Then the same day at the evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you.
And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost.
Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained.
But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came.
The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord.
But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side,
And after 8 days again his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God.
Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed.
Oh, dear Lord, help us to be people that believe. Help us to be people that know you. Today, reveal yourself in our hearts in a way that we will be changed, that all of us together will be drawn into a deeper fellowship with you. Help us this day for your glory, Lord. We thank you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. You, we can do nothing. But you are our living hope, and we don't have to be without you this day. This day, you will be with us. This day, you have promised that you will never leave us nor forsake us. This day, we can have you. We can know you. We are empowered by you to do your will the way that you want done. We give ourselves afresh to you this day. Blessed be the name of the Lord, who is worthy of all glory and power and honor and you're good, Lord, and we're grateful. Have your way. Speak clearly to us. We can't do it without you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is one of those scriptures that is wonderfully challenging. Wonderfully challenging. What, you know what wonderfully challenging means when a preacher says that? He has no idea what he's saying. And there's nobody's laughing. It's like, oh, that's sad. What am I doing here? The reality is that in John, the 20th chapter, the 19th verse is really, I think, an important scripture. And it's hard to wrestle with. I struggle back and forth with what God is saying to us here in 2023. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. You don't have to be afraid. Peace, relax. Peace be unto you. What in the world was it that they were so afraid? Well, Jesus had raised from the dead. There had been those that saw him, and there was all of this hubbub about what did this mean now? What did it mean that Jesus had come up out of the grave? What was going to happen to them? Were the Romans going to search madly everywhere for the body of this one? What was going to happen to them? Was Jesus now coming to take over and there was going to be great war? What was going to happen to them? They didn't know what the next thing that was going to be, what would it be? And so they were gathered together in their group, huddled together, nervous about what was going to be next. And Jesus, as they are all locked up in a room, he walks through without opening anything, and he says, peace be unto you. And when he had said so, he showed them his hands and his side. Now, you're saying, well, why did they need to see that? They knew that he had been raised again. They needed to know that it was him. The last time they had seen Jesus, think about what he looked like. Scripture says he was beaten in a way that he didn't even look human. You ever seen somebody that's been in a fight, you know, where they didn't really have the best end of it? There's blood and things are swollen and out of place, and here, that's what Jesus looked like. He had a crown of thorns pushed down on his head, causing all kinds of bleeding, and that bleeding would have led to swelling, and he had stayed on the cross there where he was asphyxiated. He couldn't breathe, and so that would have caused a discoloring of his skin. He was whipped with these cords of probably leather and bone and metal, and he's done by experts, and it ripped his skin, and so all over he looked just a bloody mess. It was pretty nasty stuff. You couldn't tell what this person was, and that's the last thing that they saw of him, one whose hands had been pierced, his feet had been pierced. His side was pierced so that they could prove that he was dead. And the faithful had seen that and they'd heard about that, and that was the last thing they saw of him. And now this healthy looking body walks through and says, peace. And they're going, who is this? And is this really our Lord? And he says, yes, I'm him. Look at my hands. I suffered. Look at my feet. They hurt me. They killed me. Look at my side. I died. But now I'm alive. I'm alive. So I could say with authority, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. My Father has sent me to bring deliverance to the world. My Father has sent me empowered by the Spirit of the living God. My Father has sent me so that everyone who will acknowledge me as Lord and Savior can have life, and that everlasting. Verse 20 says, when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus unto them, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he said this, he breathed. He breathed. He breathed and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive the Spirit of the living God. Receive him. You know, today this is kind of like a two-part sermon. This week, I want to make sure that you receive the Spirit. I want to make sure that you know Jesus. I want to make sure that you are born again, that you are born from above. I want to make sure that you know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to make sure that you've got him. There were lots of people in Scripture who the Spirit touched. You know, the Spirit touched Saul, and he was prophesying with the prophets, but that he didn't have real life. You see, that I want you not just to seek Pentecost. Next week is Pentecost, and the Spirit is pouring out. Even this day, he's pouring out on us. He's moving in us so that we can testify to the goodness and grace of our Lord and Savior. But before he pours out on us that way, I want to make sure that we are his. Are we his? Are you God's person, God's child? Have you been changed? Have you been made different? Some of us, you know, all we have is a social religion. We like being around the people here. Y'all are nice people, really. It would be fun to be around you. If I didn't know you and I came into a place like this, I'd just like to be here because I know how nice you are and how you treat people and how you take care of each other and you do all those kind of things. And I kind of would like that. That would be a good thing. But being in church does not mean that you have him. So, you know, it's that thing that we say all the time. You know, you could stand in a garage 24/7, doesn't make you a car. Yeah, you could sit up here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and special events and all that stuff, and that does not make you his. You see, what makes you his, and when you receive the Spirit, when you receive the offer of salvation, when you receive him, when he comes to you and you are convicted, you are convinced that all have sinned and you are one of the all, so you have sins that need to be forgiven, and you know that you have sins that need to be forgiven because you are part of Adam's race. We are one blood and we are all of Adam's race. We all came from that, and because of the sin of Adam and Eve, that sin plagues you today. And even if it was just that, that would be bad enough. But the reality is that you know that you have sinned. You know that you have failed. Things that you wanted to do that you did not do. Things that you did not want to do that you have done and maybe still continue to do. Things that plague your life, things that strap you down and keep you from being the person that you think that you should be, let alone what the Word of God says you should be. All have sinned. You get that. You understand that. You understand that we have fallen short. And so you are agreeing with God. You are confessing that you too are one who is not perfect before God, except if you confess with your mouth that you can say, I need him. I need you, Father. I need you. I cannot do this thing without you. I've tried so hard to live my life on my own terms, and my terms just weren't good enough. So I have to confess. I have to agree with God. I have to agree with the Word of God. And so I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, when I say that Jesus Christ is Lord, I am saying that he has the right to tell me whatever he wants. He has the right to command me to do anything that he has said. His word is true. This word of God is great and wonderful, and it's accurate, and it is something that I need to obey. I confess with my mouth that he is Lord, but he's also Savior. I believe that all I've done, all that's happened to me, all the things that are going on all around me are not enough to keep me from him, because he's my Savior. He reaches down into the muck and mire and he delivers me. He changes me. He walks with me and he talks with me and he says that I'm his own. He's God, and he keeps me. Does he keep you today? Have you stopped to think, is he really in charge, or are you just sitting near the good people? Are you just being around those that make you feel kind of good about yourself? Or do you know him? Jesus, this wonderful, wonderful man, this Lord of Lords, this King of Kings, this one who has said, peace be unto you. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. And even today, he is saying to us, receive him. Receive him. Receive him. Don't let another day go. Don't let another moment go. You don't have to wait till the end of this sermon. You need to receive him. Then whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. That this one, how do who's who's he talking to? Is he just talking to the apostles? Maybe that's it. Only the apostles had the power to remit people's sins, to say, you're not a, you know, I forgive your sin. I forgive this. How did you do that? Because, you know, the sin isn't against me necessarily. How can I tell somebody you don't have to worry about your sins anymore? And then it struck me. Once we are born again, we are another brick in the wall. We're a part of the building that houses the Spirit of God. We are a part of the body. We have been made into something. We together, we house God. We are the temple, and he is here, and the very place that we worship is in us. It's so crazy. It's so maddening to even try to understand this. It's like, wow, this is amazing. I am a place that God wants to come to be worshiped. Wow. Ye are living stones being built together, a habitation for the living God. Think about that. Think about that. Close your eyes for a minute and use your imagination, your sanctified imagination, and realize that you are linked together, you are mortared together, and all of you are pieces of next to each other, held together by some invisible stuff that's amazing, and there is the living God. Because you're his temple. And together we worship him and we praise him and we thank him. Glory, glory. Oh Lord, you are worthy of holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And we can bow down before you and worship you with all of creation because you are so wondrously good. Oh my goodness, you have called me to yourself. You've changed me. You've made me. And I'm a part of something amazing. I'm a part of the body of Christ. I am something that I was not because I have been changed. Have you been changed? Now, you may not be able to tell me the moment that change came. You might not be able to tell me what day it was or where you were, but you need to know that you know that you know you have been changed. Have you been born from above? But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, he was a twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." They're all excited. You know, they wanted to tell him. "We have seen the Lord," but he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Some of us are looking for some kind of more proof than we've got so far. We're looking for more than this. We're looking for more than the testimony of people that have seen. But what does Christ say? After 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them, and then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Third time in this passage, peace. peace. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but be believing. And when Thomas had seen that, when he had experienced that, it was amazing. He says, my Lord and my God. I recognize you now. I believe now. And he says to him, Jesus says to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Do you want to be blessed today? Believe. Do you want to be changed today? Believe. You know, our reading ended at this 29th verse, but we're going to go these next two verses because this is important. Why did he go through all this? Why did he give us this word of God? How do we do this thing? How do we know that we believe all of these things that happen in our life? Every person next to you that believes, that's a sign to you. Everything that's gone on in your life, that's a sign to you. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where the voice is not heard. We need to believe, because all the things that we see, all the life that we've lived, we need to believe. It's time for us to believe. We need to be able to stand on those beliefs. And this word of God was given to us so that you might believe. And John says, many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in the book. But these that he gave us are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing, he might have life in his name. Today, do you want life in his name? Don't worry, power's coming. But let's start with life. Will you live? I don't want you to be like the old version of the mummy. You know? Just a dead thing walking around. I want you to have life. Life. And that more abundantly. Today, will you receive him? Would you bow your head with me? If you want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you want to know for sure that you know him, this is what you need to believe. I believe Jesus Christ. That's what I believe Jesus died for my sin. He took my punishment. I believe it. I don't understand it all, but I believe Jesus is Lord. He has the right to have his way in my life and the lives of everyone I know. And he is my Savior because he personally has loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son. The Father loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son And whosoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, in spite of everything, today I believe. Today, in spite of everything, I believe. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, I believe. Today, I believe. Today is the day of salvation. Today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. If God is moving in your life, you're welcome to come to the altar and pray. Do you know him? Do you want to refresh that relationship? You want to make sure today. Don't leave wondering or not knowing today. So the altar's open to you.